It was a relief globe of a world, partly in shadows, spinning under the impetus of a fat hand that glittered with rings. The globe sat on a freeform stand at one wall of a windowless room, whose other walls presented a patchwork of multicolored scrolls, film books, tapes, and reels. Light glowed in the room from golden balls hanging in mobile suspensor fields. An ellipsoid desk with a top of jade-pink petrified alaka wood stood at the center of the room. Variform suspensor chairs ringed it, two of them occupied. In one sat a dark-haired youth of about 16 years, round of face with sullen eyes. The other held a slender, short man with a feminine face. Both youth and man stared at the globe, and the man half hidden in shadow, spinning it. A chuckle sounded beside the globe. A basso voice rumbled out of the chuckle.
"There it is, Peter. The biggest man-trap in all history. And the Duke's headed into its jaws. Is it not a magnificent thing that I, the Baron Vladimir Harkonnen, do?"
"Assuredly, Baron," said the man. His voice came out tenor, with a sweet, musical quality. The fat hand ascended onto the globe, stopped the spinning. Now, all eyes in the room could focus on the motionless surface and see that it was the kind of globe made for wealthy collectors or planetary governors of the Empire. It had the stamp of imperial handicraft about it. Latitude and longitude lines were laid in with hair-fine platinum wire. The polar caps were insets of finest cloud milk diamonds. The fat hand moved, tracing details on the surface.
"I invite you to observe," the basso voice rumbled. "Observe closely, Peter, and you too, Fadrotha, my darling. From 60 degrees north to 70 degrees south, these exquisite ripples. Their coloring, does it not remind you of sweet caramels? And nowhere do you see blue of lakes or rivers or seas. And these lovely polar caps, so small. Could anyone mistake this place? Arrakis, truly unique. A superb setting for a unique victory."
A smile touched Peter's lips.
"And to think, Baron, the Padishah Emperor believes he's given the Duke your spice planet. How poignant."
"That's a nonsensical statement," the Baron rumbled. "You say this to confuse young Fadrotha, but it is not necessary to confuse my nephew."
The man crawled across a dune top. He was a mote caught in the glare of the noon sun. He was dressed only in torn remnants of a Jubba cloak, his skin bare to the heat through the tatters. The hood had been ripped from the cloak, but the man had fashioned a turban from a torn strip of cloth. Wisps of sandy hair protruded from it, matched by a sparse beard and thick brows. Beneath the blue-within-blue eyes, remains of a dark stain spread down to his cheeks. A matted depression across mustache and beard showed where a stillsuit tube had marked out its path from nose to catch pockets. The man stopped half across the dune crest, arms stretched down the slip face. Blood had clotted on his back and on his arms and legs. Patches of yellow-gray sand clung to the wounds. Slowly, he brought his hands under him, pushed himself to his feet, stood there swaying. And even in this almost random action, there remained a trace of once precise movement.
"I am Liet Kynes," he said, addressing himself to the empty horizon, and his voice was a hoarse caricature of the strength it had known. "I am His Imperial Majesty's planetologist," he whispered. "Planetary ecologist for Arrakis. I am steward of this land."
He stumbled, fell sideways along the crusty surface of the windward face. His hands dug feebly into the sand. "I am steward of this sand," he thought. He realized that he was semi-delirious, that he should dig himself into the sand, find the relatively cool underlayer, and cover himself with it. But he could still smell the rank, semi-sweet esters of a pre-spiced pocket somewhere underneath this sand. He knew the peril within this fact more certainly than any other Fremen. If he could smell pre-spiced mass, that meant the gases deep under the sand were nearing explosive pressure. He had to get away from here.